God as distant and disinterested, then we will miss the very message of Scripture, that God came near in the person of Jesus. We will fail to grasp the power of Christ's atonement, that a loving Father, a Daddy, sent His beloved and only Son to die for the love of us, His children. While we must reverence God as our Creator, we must also know Him personally in an intimate, affectionate relationship. Otherwise, we miss out. We miss the point of our faith. In the weeks following the class's attempt at my original assignment, I walked us through a careful examination of God's character as found mainly in the book of Isaiah. We meditated on God's tenderness, His forgiveness, and His comfort. We learned that God's desire was to set us free. We talked about belonging to God as His children. We came to understand that God loved us so much that He chose us to be His own. We examined His promise to restore us and grappled with the power of His love. As our class was drawing to an end, we tried the homework assignment again. This time, some of us, including me, could do it successfully. It wasn't until many months after teaching, Enjoying God, that I began to grasp the Bible study's significance in my own life. Prior to learning of my husband's infidelities, I was isolated with my hurts from others, but I was also, in some measure, isolated from God. I needed a foundational understanding of God's role in my life as Abba. I was not as intimate with Him as I needed to be to withstand the coming storm in my personal life. Through the Bible study, God broke down my false perceptions of His character so I could draw closer to Him in relationship and dare to trust Him with greater abandon. In fact, this increased intimacy with God was also the first step toward balance in my relationships with others. Our movement out of isolation begins with our relationship with God. We must learn to trust Him first. Only then can we venture to trust people, and it is to our great advantage to learn to do both. Costs of isolation. Though God certainly worked in my life during the years I was isolating myself with my pain, eventually all of the masking and getting by caught up with me, and I began to awaken to the costs of isolation. Though I was learning to grow in intimacy with God, at the same time, I found myself less and less able to express emotion day to day. I got to a point where I rarely cried. I could not feel deeply. I was on autopilot all of the time. I was doing and saying the right things, but on the inside I felt lifeless. My emotions were locked away. I had nowhere I felt I could safely express them. I also began to notice I was holding back in corporate worship at my church, even missing out on opportunities to receive ministry from God for fear of letting down my mask. I did not want people to think I might have needs, problems, or weaknesses. At times during the worship service, our leaders would call people with specific needs to come to the altar at the front of the sanctuary in order to affirm spiritual decisions or commitments before God. I remember watching others move forward in these moments and wishing I could go forward too. But each time the familiar caution surfaced in my mind, I was Billy Graham's daughter. I had to